11 through 32. Now as the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in desolate living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to be one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to share, but here I am dying of hunger? I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. I just want to say to you this morning that raising children is hard. Do you know that? You know that, Alan?
Yeah.
Raising children is really hard. It just is. There's no easy way to do it. There are sleepless nights when they're babies and they won't go to sleep. Look at Russ smiling. And they won't go to sleep, or they have a tummy ache, or there's a nightmare. And then they get to be teenagers, and you think, okay, we're there. But the curfew is at 11 o'clock, and they're not home. And then it's 12 o'clock, and they're not home. Raising children is not an easy task. Sleepless nights when they're teenagers, sleepless nights when they're babies. And if you think just because they're out of the house, there's not going to be sleepless nights, good luck with that. Trying to save money to send them to college, and you worry that you're not going to have enough, and then they decide not to go to college, and you worry even more. You have to teach them right from wrong. Takes a lot of investment. Table manners, how to dress, social skills. And on and on and on. Brush your teeth before you go to bed. Brush your teeth when you get up in the morning. And then you realize that they came into your lives and immediately took them over, not just the house, but your very life. They became the boss. Everything revolves around their schedule. They come and they take. They take time. And they take money. And they take time. And they take energy. And they take time. And they take effort. And they take time. Yesterday, I was in Covington, and I was going to do a couple of things. I was going to work on this sermon. I was going to get all my tax stuff together, and the phone rang, and the voice at the other end said, "Ma, we're taking the boys to Monster Jam, Monster something, trucks. And the pits open at 11 o'clock, so we want to go up right after lunch. But Maddie's car is at Bulldog Tire, and she's at Amici's working. Can you pick her up at 3 and take her to get her car at Bulldog Tire?" "Yes," I said. At 11 o'clock, the phone rang, and it was Maddie. I'm at Amici's, and we're working. Amici is the pizza place, you know. And we're all hungry. We're going to make a breakfast pizza, but we have no eggs. Can you go and get eggs? "Yes." And so I went and got eggs and took those to Maddie. On the way back home, I got Doogie and was walking him, and the phone rang, and it was Chandler. She said, "Where are you, me, Mommy?" I'm walking Doogie. "Well, I'm at your house." "You are?" "Yeah." And I was kind of hoping maybe we could go get some lunch, which is a clear sign that Chandler is out of money, right? And I said, "Well, why don't you just meet me?" And she said, "Well, I don't have very much gas. I'm not sure I'll make it to the gas station." Okay, so I'll come and get you, and we'll go to lunch, and I'll get you a QT card, and then you can go straight to the gas station. Okay, that'll be great, me, Mommy. In the meantime, it's time to go and get Maddie, and I pick her up, and I said, "Maddie, you have some running around to do for the prom." "Yep." "And you have to be back at work at 5. "Yep." "How much gas you got?" "Well, it's not completely empty." "Okay, let's go to QT. They never go away. Raising children is hard. But I'm going to tell you the hardest thing of all about raising children, and some of you won't believe it because your children are still very young. The hardest thing about raising children is letting them go. And even harder than letting your children go is letting your grandchildren go. I believe that God gave us teenage years and hard times raising children so that we would be ready to let them go. But with grandchildren, you don't have to make them eat green beans. And it doesn't matter if they skip one night brushing their teeth. And if the homework doesn't get done, it's not the greatest sin in the world. So you don't have those hard times trying to raise them, and then it's time to let them go. That's hardest part of all, letting them go. Canaan's home with his girlfriend, Zoe. He goes back tomorrow to Jacksonville, and the 23rd of March, he leaves for Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, the Persian Gulf. I've spent as much time as I can with him, but I'm telling you, the hardest part is letting them go. Jesus was on a teaching frenzy as he was making his way to Jerusalem and the completion of his ministry on earth. He was trying to help his disciples get ready and trying to help them with the tools they would need to build his church and build his kingdom. Grace and forgiveness were two of the main tools they needed for themselves and for others. The parable of the prodigal Jesus used to teach them and also provided this story as a tool for their toolbox. Now, the Pharisees and scribes were listening to this, and so were the people who had just gathered around witnesses, curiosity seekers. And so he began to tell the story of the prodigal, which is a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Don't forget, it is not an actual event. It is a parable. It is wrongly named. And I feel very confident in that. It should be known or titled as the prodigal father instead of the prodigal son. Anybody know what the word prodigal means? Prodigal means, now don't spoil this at 11 o'clock. Okay, don't sing out what it means so people think you're real smart at 11 o'clock. Choir's bad about doing that. The word prodigal means restlessly extravagant, wallowing in luxuries. And I'm convinced that the story should have been named or titled The Prodigal Father. This father granted his son's wish to let him go, gave him what the son considered to be his part. Now, you need to hear this. You need to know that that son had no part, and neither do your children have no part. Just because you got it doesn't mean it's automatically theirs. They make their own. My kids are finally beginning to realize that. My grandchildren are finally beginning to realize that. When you die, can I have your pearls? Well, you can have them now if you want to. I don't ever wear them. But they're my pearls. They don't automatically become your pearls. You're not entitled from some birthright someplace. That's my choice. That's important. If families would get that in their head, they'd stop fighting over inheritances, and brothers and sisters would stop splitting up households, turning on each other. But he granted his son wish, this extravagant father. He gave him what the boy considered to be his part, and off he went. This father's love for the boy was magnanimous, beyond anything we can even imagine, like God's love for us. That is the moral of the story. It's the whole point of the story. Jesus is trying to convince the disciples who would build his kingdom and all those listening that God loves us. More than anything, God loves us. Jews, Gentiles, all of us. Black, white, gay, straight. God loves us. The father's heart was broken when he watched that boy leave. I've been there, have you? He was crushed that the son didn't return the love that he had for him. He was crushed that the boy didn't want to stay. He was devastated that the boy wanted to leave him and go to a foreign country. He was frightened that the boy may never come back, that he could be wounded or killed. He knew, this father, that the boy needed to be with him, needed to be close, needed a coach, needed a helping hand, and that he would never do well away from him. But the boy needed to come to that knowledge himself. And so he let him go. Now, can't you see this father, not one night, but every night, standing on the porch, looking down a dirt road, hoping to see this boy come around the bend, watching, wishing, praying. There's a song out of Les Mis. Josh Groban has done a new arrangement of it. Listen to these words. This was very likely the prayer of the Father. Finally, one day, he spots the boy coming. Slowly, way down the road, making his way home. Skinny, shamefaced, head down, dirty, rags for clothes. And then the father shames himself by lifting his robe, showing his ankles. By running, which was unheard of for a man, by forgiving before he was even asked. It was the custom when a family member of the owner of the farm that provided a living not just for the whole family, but also supplied the living for hired hands, and back then even slaves, when a family member put that farm at risk, it was the custom that they had the right to beat him. And so he ran for this reason, so he could throw his arms around his boy. So if there was a beating, he would take it instead of his son. This prodigal father forgave him before he even asked. Go back and read it. He never asked forgiveness. Just let me be one of the hired hands, he said. This prodigal ordered the fatted calf killed and barbecued. This prodigal father sent for a robe and shoes for his feet and rings for his hand. His son was gone. He had let him go, and now he's home. His older brother didn't like it. He was jealous. But Dad told him his brother was home. We so very often are the older brother. Sometimes we're the prodigal son. Hardly ever are we like the prodigal father. His dad told him, this is the day for a party. Your brother's home. The prodigal father's prayers had been answered. He had prayed, bring him home. Bring him home. Let him live. God has taken our beatings, covered our sins, forgiven us before we ask, lost his dignity on a cross. God has loved us enough to let us go and then welcomed us home. Let him live. Let them live. If I die, let me die. But let them live. Bring them home. My question to you this morning is, how long will you make him wait? How long must God stand looking down the road of life, hoping to see us walking toward him? It's up to us. It's called free will. It's up to me. It's up to you. The feast, the banquet, the celebration is set before us. The body of Christ has been broken for you. Bring them home, the Father said. The blood of Christ has been shed for us. Bring them home, the Father said. And now the decision is ours. It's up to us. Amen.